Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone at 7:51 Central African time. At the time of the morning, we welcome our very own Councillor Ahmed Parak on his segment, Straight Talk and Kafan Dafan. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell us, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, shafaat. Allah has blessed us with another beautiful, fine Sunday morning shafaat.
Absolutely, Ahmed, and the kaf and dafan side of it. What's the latest?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, beside the one that we had in midweek where the youngster at the age of 6 was run down by a motor vehicle in Ocean Terrace. Other than that, with this long weekend, we haven't had any updates yet, but by this afternoon we should know if there was any casualties or anything like that. But so far, alhamdulillah, everything is quite shabbat.
You know, Ahmed, you talk about the youngster, you know, that passed away. Allah, you know, he's already in Jannat al-Firdaus, I mean. But, you know, the sad part is we had a very close connection with the family. My wife thought to him and his father as, you know, at school. And, you know, it was really sad indeed. And for you, you know, I really thought it's an accident case and the body will have to go for autopsy and so forth. And guess what came to my mind, Ahmed? I just said Ahmed Parak must be involved in the whole issue because he's the only one that makes things happen. And alhamdulillah, with your intervention, everything went smoothly. Perhaps describe that to us, Ahmed.
Shabbat, this thing happened around about, I would say, in the region about just after five, this accident happened in Ocean Terrace. I got a call from not one, maybe about one. 10, 12. You know, when there's an accident of this nature and a youngster passed away, or it's an accident where the body is still lying on the roadside and all that, then everybody starts phoning me, you know, because they know, obviously, this body has to go for post-mortem. And then, unfortunately, this kid went to pick up something from the road, and I think the driver that was driving the car did not see this youngster, and anyway, he was run down. And you know, when they brought him down to the ambulance, down to the Kingsway Hospital, and you know, when you bring a body to the hospital, and when the nurses and all tell the doctor, DOA, 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 that means dead on arrival. So there's not much you can do because everything is in. Now, you know, it's just a matter of putting the machines, try and see, you know, and see if you can resuscitate him or anything like that. But, you know, I've been through these things on many occasions when we already, you know, I normally follow the ambulance, or I sit with the ambulance and go down to the hospital. And as soon as we reach the hospital, and the nurses and the doctor just come out and say, DOA, DOA, and then you must know there's nothing much left in it. He's dead on arrival, that means DOA. And they tried everything. Nothing could happen. Then I had a call. Then they said to me, you know, I had everything under control, but they said, you know, some of the family members and Hussein Mullah said, you know what, Mandro, do me a favor, come out here. I think, you know, we are waiting for the police here. Police has not come. We haven't got an NCT number from the Department of Health for the transportation of this body. It has to go to Park Reni, and you know, nothing is happening. It's already almost 7:30. Immediately after Maghrib, before Isha, I had to went. They made actually arrangement with one of the Rajgiri's family members. They said, go pick Mandu up back from his apartment and bring him down to the hospital. And I went there and I started making things happen. I told him, you know what, first and foremost, where's the police? And fortunately, when I arrived, the police were there. What my question was at that time was, why is Toti police not here? Why they insisting on Sumo police? Because jurisdiction is, you know, we in Kingsway, so obviously Toti police supposed to act. So that was the confusion from the beginning. That was the delay. Otherwise, we could have got the body earlier in terms of sending it to the mortuary. But the post-mortem, fortunately, there was this doctor that I knew. I made arrangement. I said, you know, he's a district surgeon. Now, you get two types of doctors. One, you get a pathologist and you get a district surgeon. A district surgeon normally comes and do maybe 2-3 bodies in the morning, and by 9 o'clock he's gone back to his surgery and he's got his own practice. That's how the Department of Health engaged doctors and all for postmortem, because when they got overloads of postmortem to be done. So I made arrangement. He said, "Don't worry, I'm gonna be there. Make sure paperwork, everything is done by 6:30. The postmortem, I will make sure it will be done for you." By 7:15, the postmortem was already being done, and they were actually waiting for Salim Qazi to come and pick up the body and take it to Springwell for Ghusl. So alhamdulillah, so we managed to get it done quick as possible.
Yeah, Ahmed, Allah bless you for that, and alhamdulillah, I'm glad you document that. And you know, the focus was on the mayyat, and you know, it's sad indeed, but Allahu alam, you know, Allah knows best, and our thoughts are with the family members and all. Allah make it easy for them, you know, wonderful people indeed. And you know, Ahmed, when you look at the Kabristan, and you talk about death, and you know, death is a great leveler. I mean, whether you're young or you're old, you just don't know when you're going to make parda from this earth. But you know, I remember you telling me that this was perhaps when you see youngsters of this age make parda from this dunya, it hurts you for some time, Ahmed.
Yeah, it's, you know, Shafak, when on that day, you know, I was privileged to take out the nurse. Tell me, you know, I see you geared up, because I brought the body bag to put the kid into that body bag, and so I was taking out the plugs and all. They had tubes on him and everything else. So I knew exactly how to pull the tubes out from the back, front, and mouth and everything. So I cleaned the boy up quick as possible, and I put him in a body bag, because, you know, when there's too many people there, you know, then it becomes a little bit of a problem. So what I normally do is do it quick as possible, put the body into the morgue van and send it away. But we were lucky there that day, because the arrangement from the mortuary was they had to first go to Amlazi, pick up one body, and then come to Kingsway Hospital. So fortunately, because of my standing with the members of the mortuary, I had one of my guys was on call that evening. He was in night shift. So I told Derek, do me a favor, you coming first here, pick up here, and then do whatever you... So to take the pressure away from the family. So once the body is out of the hospital, everything calmed down. The family members went away home and everything else. So that's what I try and do, quick as possible, to take the pressure away from the family. And that's what we did. So alhamdulillah, it worked out for us. Shafa, the Israeli protest, you know, I think is going on to about almost over 6 weeks now. And the Israeli people now have realized they're not giving up or anything. And I think the Prime Minister Netanyahu days are almost coming to an end here, and you can see the pressure is on for week in, week out. They are protesting, and they want reform in Israel, and that is a big plus factor for the world and the community at large. Then the Ukraine oil, you know, they lost off, you know, with this Ukraine and Russian, they're losing a lot of oil, and now with this oil, this fight and this war that is taking place, you know, the crude oil price is going to be stepped up by a couple of $100 just now. It will reach $100 mark just now. So it's going to be a big problem for everyone. So obviously when crude price goes up, fuel price goes up all over the world as well. So that is an issue. Then you get the lunatic in USA, you know, they're gun hungry, and a person can kill five, you know, so, people there, and they think nothing about it. You know, that is in the USA, that, you know, you hear this on an ongoing basis. You know, they get lunatic, they just go and open fire for women and children there. You know, two children raped. Passed away in this incident. You know, I can't understand this U.S. this gun law in the U.S. You know, youngsters having guns nowadays.
And as we get closer home, we talk about Itikweni municipality, the state of the city. It's a mess. And it's a mess, and the response to Itikweni mayor's speech shows that ANC and its opposition occupy parallel universes. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, there's the country that is imploding in non-delivery and so forth. And here you have a mayor gloating about, you know, what they have done and so forth. And there have been many attempts to get rid of the mayor of Durban. But it seems as if, you know, Kaunda has a very thick skin. Ahmed, how do you respond?
Shafat, we in fact there was a vote of non-confidence in his way that it's running the city, the mayor. We brought an application, we brought a motion in council, but we got bombarded out of on that day because of what happened was the EFF actually joined the ANC as well as the smaller parties. You know, in an election like that, in fact, I was offered a parcel, you know, just stay away from this meeting and we make it good for you. So you know what? I said, no, I don't work that way. And furthermore, we ethical. We are upright people. We are ethical people that we don't do anything. We are here to make sure that we give service delivery to the community and fix South Africa. And this is it. So, you know, the ANC, this is how the government is. And now he's gloating himself with the speech of the city. And he's all what he ever said on that Wednesday in that meeting, Shafat, it's absolutely lie. He says he's got 95% of the electricity will be sorted out in the next 6 months. Water leaks will be sorted out. Roads will be sorted out. All that it cannot be done because end of the day, there is no money. They took 122 million for low-cost housing where the poor people were supposed to have got low-cost housing. They couldn't do anything. The national government have taken the money away from. They have lost in about 6 months ago, 335 million was taken away by the national government because they didn't do anything. That's how bad. They don't know whether they're coming or going in council at the moment, and they want to run a city. So this is a problem that we're faced with. The only way we can get this city right and fix South Africa is to remove the ruling party and bring in coalition government there and start making this country governable again and to make sure that the people of this country get service delivery and the poor are brought in with proper housing, sanitation, water. That's what we are. We are there to assist the community.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And I'm just reading a paragraph for you. You know, it's putting a smile on my dial. It says, the venue was festooned with the posters celebrating the city's service delivery successes. As some guests got goodie bags from the mayor's office and were dressed up to the nines for the event. You know, we used to use the terms when we were lighty. Hey, he's dressed up to the nines. But here, they're always dressing up to the nines and bluffing the people, Ahmed.
Shafat, this is what they do. They only go and bluff the people. Like they went to Dakota. 350 of those shacks were burnt about 10 days ago. When we went there, when they got the win, that Action SA are there to assist the community. And we took some clothing there. We took buckets there. We took some groceries there to assist the people wherever we could assist them. When they saw when we were there, that wind went out and they, by that, within an hour and a half, the deputy mayor was sent. Then within another hour, the mayor with his whole entourage was there to say, you know what, we are here. You know what, end of the day, they did nothing. If it wasn't for the gift of the givers, they couldn't have got nothing done. So that's how bad this issue is. They only want to be on the limelight to say that they are doing something. They want to wear five-piece suit to say that, you know, he's a councillor, he's the mayor, he's the deputy. You know, end of the day, the people are hungry out there. They need service delivery. They need water. You know, in Musgrave recently, for 24 hours, there was no electricity. You know, you can't be paying 28 million a month in rates and tax, 335 million a year for rates and tax and not get the service delivery. This is what there's 354 ratepayers association have already come together. Now, that is the big plus factor they are scared of now because we all got together and we marched to the city hall and we want service delivery. And if nothing happens, we have given them 7 days. If nothing happens, we bring in class action. We'll bring the whole entire city to a standstill because nobody pays. Then what's going to happen? They have to start putting things right now.
This message says, Ahmad Manzoor, Ahmad Farooq, please comment. The ANC has ruined and destroyed almost everything they have inherited, which was a huge and a substantial way by any standards. They had a functioning country that was in full function, had the best electricity best electricity in the world, and also water services and so forth. The roads were world class. The airlines were world class. Everything was world class. These people have taken us back to the banana republic, but they are shameless and do not admit it. Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, in the apartheid days, you know, you and I come from the apartheid days. Spingo was totally a white area. I think we were the only few families that came into Spingo Beach in the 70s. I came in the 70s. I don't know when you came in Spingo and how clean Spingo was. You know, we had the best soccer fields in the country for fields. And today, look at those things. The issue is, in 1994, this country was given in the plate. Every infrastructure was working. They only had to make sure they keep the same artisan, bring in the more people on board, and start only doing maintaining all these infrastructures and bringing new systems in place. And that's all they had to do, and nothing else. So far today, we shouldn't have had all these problems. What they did was they did nothing. They went and brought third grade coal, put it into our boilers, took the first grade, and if you go to Richards Bay today, for 15 to 20 kilometers, Shafat, you will see only trucks are waiting to get into Richards Bay to offload coals into the ships. We're getting premium price for our coal. But what is happening in our own country? We're damaging our equipment here.
Yeah, Ahmad, you make a very powerful observation there. And Rafiq says, Assalamu alaikum. Congratulations to Ahmad Farooq for not accepting the parcels. He's kept his integrity and he's kept the flag of Islam flying. Unlike some other Muslims that we're reading the newspapers, some are involved in frauds and being fraudsters. Just reading an article where a group of female Muslims are gone to jail because of the fraud. Please, Ahmad, motivate the Muslims not to be involved in this, because not only they and the family members are disgraced, but the whole house of Islam feels the pain. Ahmad, how could you motivate them, like yourself, not to do the wrong thing? Ahmad?
Shafat, in our council, we got two alims. And, you know, I cannot understand, when we are voting against a motion, they know what we are fighting for, to fix South Africa. They go and side with the ruling party and we all the opposition. So how you can get Alim sitting, two Molana sitting in our council, and they go and vote with the ANC government? I can't understand how they can go and sleep. They're selling leave alone, they're selling our deen. They're selling the people of the country who voted them in. So I cannot understand this, Shafat. You know, and I talk to them. I distance myself from them now. I just make them salam and I walk the other way. Because end of the day, they're selling us to ourselves now. Because end of the day, we are trying to build South Africa, fix South Africa. And they're standing with the ruling party. He says, no, we got no chance. We rather join the ruling party. You can't do that. You have to fight them head on. If you're not going to do it, nobody else is going to do it, Shafat.
Ahmad, generally the argument is, you know what, we got freedom of religion in this country, the ANC doesn't oppose us and so forth, and they have allowed that. But you also should remember that ANC allows devil worship, Ahmad.
100%. You know, the ANC didn't put the right of religion, right of culture. It is our you give that man, you know, Allah give him Jannah. Smile advocate, when he was the advocate, then became the judge. Smile Muhammad, he was in Pretoria. One of the best legal brains in the country we ever had. You can ask anybody in the legal field. They will tell you the best legal brains that we ever had in this country was advocate, then judge Smile Muhammad, who drew the constitution, who polished that constitution and made sure that these clause were put into our constitution, right of religion, right of culture. So, you know, nobody's saying they're not, the ANC government is not doing us a favor by giving us what we want. What is rightfully ours is ours, which we are fighting for, and they have to give us. And that is it, because they are taking everything. You know, I'll keep telling our people as well, Shafak, you know, it came now. It is our culture. We could have brought, if you wanted to make a mass iftar, there was money available, but nobody is coming. I'm talking to Jamaatul Ulama, I'm talking to all the Ulama councils. Make application. They are giving, they gave 22 pieces of ground for further church. The churches are dying in the country. If you go to London, 160 churches are already closed when I was there in December, January. So things are happening. And yeah, even in Musgrave, where I am now, Shafak, there's a church right next to the masjid. There's only 40, 50 people come on a Sunday. That's how it is. So there's so many churches, but the people go and make application for this 22 piece of ground that they wanted for the church. It was granted. There is provision for us, but nobody wants to go there and do something about it. So there is problem. Our people are, you know, there's so much of money for art and culture. What else you're looking for in Islam? We got all the art and culture. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have laid it for us. You know, everything is there. You just make an application, they will have to give it. We will make sure that we get it approved in council for them to do something. You know, if you want to have a milad, if you want to have this iftar, we could have got that. There was money. You shouldn't have had to use 1 cent.
Yeah, Ahmed, you're making a lot of sense, and you're talking about the sense too. And also, Ahmed, I'm looking at a message here. Brother Mustafa says, Assalamu alaikum. I want to know from Ahmed Parak, is load shedding more severe in the Gauteng than in KZN? I don't know, because as the government showed on Eid Day, they don't care two hoots about the Muslims, but they make plans for themselves and they chummies when they have a 24/7 electricity, no matter which area they're in. Ahmed, how do you respond to Mustafa?
Shafak, fortunately in KZN, we managed to get 3,000 kilowatts from a neighboring country that is assisting us. So therefore, our load sharing is not so bad. But if you go to Gauteng, I've been told recently that you can get up to 9 hours some days, because you don't get two hours, you get like 3.5-4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the evening, or 4.5 hours. I don't know how the grid is working in Gauteng, but there is up to 9 hours load sharing in Gauteng. But look at when they wanted for their festival and everything else, Shafak, for Christmas or for whatever they wanted for the Easter. There was no load sharing. How can that be possible? When we wanted it, we told them that, you know what, for our Eid, make sure we don't have no load sharing. They did nothing. They just gave their deaf ear on this whole issue, Shafak.
Absolutely. As you say, you know, they didn't go the extra mile for the Muslim community. And then, you know, you look at the work that's been done by the Muslims, you know, especially the Muslims of the, you know, the Western Cape. Would you say that they are more like politically active than the rest of the province, Ahmed?
Shaban, you know, in the Western Cape, you know, those, I'm not saying, I think our community more than Western Cape are more active in politics than the ones in Cape Town, because the Cape Town Muslims are only DNing on, especially with the DA, to say whatever the DA say, they're going, but they're not realizing. The DA got his own agenda. So this is what I've already been told. I told MJC about that as well. I said, you know, when the Shia were building the masjid in Cape Town, I went, the late Sheikh Hendricks was alive at that time. I went to his office and I was invited and I spoke to him. And then he called his whole committee. He said, you know what, see what Ahmed Parak is saying. Is it true? He said, we came to know about it. I said, go and have a look at that building. It's almost three-quarter way done. And you know what the criteria they use there, Shafak? Absolutely free of charge for the schooling, for the children, you don't pay 1 cent. They got boarding and lodging, full boarding and lodging. You know, fees to pay. They got everything done there. But what they're going to be doing, they're going to be brainwashing our children there. This is the problem. So what did MJZ done about it? And I went on the member, and I had one Juma talk there, and I said to the community then only came to know. He said, hey, what is happening in the heart of Cape Town? They're putting a school, a Shia school. We don't know anything about it. Now, how can that be possible?
Then as you know, we move around the country and we look at the different types of political situation that's taking place. We are asked the question, you know, what are the people, you know, those are people that don't have means, those people that don't have jobs. What are we doing for them? But we're doing quite a bit. But the bottom line is, many have said that the people that we are feeding and we're taking care of are actually getting spoiled and getting used to the type of life that we are encouraging. Do you think we should feel the guilt, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, in any disaster management or anything in a country, who are the first forerunners? The Muslim, number one. Number two, if you take Al Indar, you take Gift of the Givers, and you take all our NGOs, and we are the first one, even up till now, in all the informal settlement, the Jondal settlement, who is going to feeding them on a regular basis? We are the first one. And if we step back and not going to feed them, they will, you know what, they will starve. And there's women and children there, Shafat. And if you take the latest scenario at the moment, take all the schools, 4.5 billion is allocated for the feeding of the students at all the schools. I went to about 5 or 6 schools in the last 1 week. Shafat, there's absolutely nothing. And whatever they're getting is all rotten. I saw cabbages that are rotten. How can you cook those rotten cabbages for the children? This is it. Now, what the ANC government is doing about it? Now there's a massive inquiry, investigation, because we went to the premier and we gave her 7 days to respond. In fact, if they don't, we made sure that the award was, the tender award was appointed to that company, is immediately suspended, and a new tender is given to maybe 4 or 5 different people to make sure that the school gets its supplied continuously so they can feed. They have to close some of the schools because the children can't function without food, Shafat. They don't have no lunch, they don't have tea, no, you know, in the morning when they come, absolutely nothing. How you expect a child to function with an empty stomach?
Well, Ahmed, you know, you're on the ball there, but I'm reading a headline here, and, you know, it's putting a smile here. It says that the DA is suffering from a multiple personality disorder over Joburg mayoral candidate. And who's saying that, Ahmed? Action SA. Elaborate on that, Ahmed.
Hey, Shafat, you know, the DA, we know that, and everyone else is know. DA is just, you know, if they got some blacks in the party. That's all window dressing. And you know that, I know that, and everybody else can see. And in Joburg, it's the same thing. How many times they changed the mayor in the last year, Shafat? The end of the day, we're telling them, come to a proper coalition. Let's form a proper coalition. Let's go and put the right people there. But they're not interested. They want to do, you see, with DA, they want everything. If you don't give them that, they don't come. They don't want to talk to you. This is the problem that we face with the coalition. I mean, this coalition can work, but you have to have liberal people there, not for personality and positions. Then only it can work, Shafat.
Looking at the message here, and it is from Kasim, and he says the All Trucks Drivers Forum and Allied South Africa has threatened to bring major roads in the country to a standstill on Sunday, Ahmed Parak. It is frightening that what is happening to us. We get stuck on the roads for hours and hours, and besides being stuck, we get robbed and sometimes hijacked. Law enforcement do nothing. We have drones, we have helicopters, but we don't care about our citizens. These truckers are all against foreign truck drivers who they say most of them do not even have their license and are causing most of the accidents. Please, Councillor Ahmed Parak, address this issue. What are your thoughts? How do you respond to Kasim there, Ahmed?
Shafat, as far as this, the strike that is going to be taking place sometime today, but I don't think it's going to take place because the law enforcement is geared up for this year. What, you know, the recently the EFF wanted to bring the whole country to a standstill. They never succeed, and these guys not going to succeed today as well. Yes, I agree. The people that are employing these foreign national drivers here in the country, they should be reprimanded, number one. Number two, there's so much of local drivers in the country looking for work, and these because of cheap labor, they are using these foreign drivers, and that is a major, major problem. And in fact, with the new legislation that is going to be coming through shortly, you know, like what they have got in the UAE with the new ID and everything else, you'll see they will be able to pick you up very, very easily, quickly, and all that. The government is saying that we had a relationship with the in the old days with these countries that harbored all our underground, the ANC comrades and all that. That's the reason they're giving them free access in country in South Africa. But whatever you can say, you have to do it with the proper legislation, what is with a visa, work permit. They just want to just steamroll everything. And you saw in the recently, last week, one the kingpin of all this fraud that was taking place with all the IDs and passports and everything, a Pakistani was detained, and they have broken the back of that. So a lot of people want to go behind bars now because of that now.
Yeah, but as you say, you know, perhaps they say that, you know, when you look at the type of people that are going behind bars, not really the main culprits. I mean, the main culprits are sitting in, you know, in parliament and so forth. How would you react to that, Ahmad?
Shafat, today you go behind bars, you still can't. You're sitting there, but you're doing everything on the outside, everything. He still has access to everything. He's running his whole business from prison. That's how easy it becomes. And you know, these are the problems that we face with. You saw what happened with Bester. Bester running a multi-million rand business when he was still inside. He was running it. All he had is members on the outside running this whole business, but he was the kingpin from the inside. Now, this is the problem that we have in our correctional services, the South African Police Department, where you saw you have to guard a police station today. You have to bring an outside company to guard a police station. You know, all these things, you know, in the old days you never had. So this is the problem. We need somebody who can run the country. And what Thabo Mbeki said, if a person has got a bag full of money, whether he's a president or whoever it is, it is his property, he's accountable, and that full investigation. And how come Parliament never had a debate on that? And he's 100% right.
So spot on there. And finally, you look at the former Eskom CEO, Andre De Ruyter. Ahmad, he's under severe scrutiny due to the potentially illegal, privately funded covert surveillance operation into the embattled power utility. They say that, you know, he's not, he hasn't been open, but quietly he was also doing his own investigations into what was happening there. But the bottom line is that it was, you know, you looked at Eskom, it was run by a mafia cartel. And he, I mean, let's be honest, he was even poisoned. I mean, his tea was poisoned. He had to end up in hospital. Why are they still going for him in such a negative manner when this man exposed Eskom, Ahmad?
Shafat, they brought him in when they never realized that how he's going to, because he's a brilliant business person, and he showed them where they are going wrong. And with them, when you show them where they're doing wrong, they want you to, you know, they want you out as quick as possible out of that system. The reason is, the problem is, he has exposed them and he showed them what, you know, how the mafias are running in the whole Eskom. And if you take all our superstar engineers, they took them out of the system out. Those all are gone overseas today. That's why you cannot get Eskom. Even if you put, and there's a debt of 200 billion. They got a bailout from national government of 300 billion now. It's not going to be enough because end of the day, the damage is back, gone so bad. You need to fix the infrastructure, and you need people who are liberal, who knows how to do things. You need to bring those old engineers who knows the system, how to do it, build around it, and get it done, sorted out. They cannot even fix. They spend in Tonga, they spent 80 million to fix the pumps. Today, it only lasted about 60 days, and those pumps are this thing too. Today, we have to still put water tankers in Tonga because we can't pump water from the dams.
Yeah, sad indeed. I'm at a great morning in your company. Perhaps your parting words?
So far, those brothers, who, you know, tomorrow is going to be heading back home and all this. They must take it easy on the road and Allah make it easy. And so to return them safely to the loved one back home and may take it easy because of the road is going to be very, very busy. I think this is the only long weekend we had in a long time. And you know, after Ramadan, most of the people back in our seashores in Durban and Cape Town, they need to go back home because school is starting back on Tuesday. So the roads is going to be busy. You know, Allah make it easy for all of them.
Inshallah, Ahmad, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.